was Buenos Aires. And Louis le Seigneur. Is that how you say it? How do you say praise the Lord in French? Louis le Seigneur?
Que Dieu soit Louis, yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
How do you say it nicer? Say it again.
Que Dieu soit Louis.
Oh, okay. I got it from Google Translate. It obviously
really?
Doesn't work.
Okay.
Anyway, the first thing I really wanted to say is we have to get over that we are white and black. Muzungu and Africa. We gotta get over it! Over! This was not what I was planning to talk about. I've got, as I showed you, I've got so many notes, but this is what he wants to talk about. We've gotta stop it. We gotta stop thinking we're different because he said we came from one blood.
Amen.
One blood!
Amen.
Even before Jesus Christ, we came from one blood.
Hallelujah.
Now we're one spirit.
Amen.
One body.
Hallelujah.
One heart. That's what we're meant to be. And I know it's so hard to be in a country that, I have to say this, and pardon me, Murray, if in any way I'm not trying to offend you whatsoever as an Australian, but in Australia, it's very narrow. Mm-hmm. It's very narrow thinking about anyone who's different than you. Mm-hmm. And I know you've all felt it. I know you've all have felt racism. I have felt racism. I can look okay, because look at me. Open my mouth. Oh, American. Oh, no, big mouth American. That's what they think. And I've been told it. It's not just. So I know what it's like. I don't know it in the same way you do, because you get it just by walking. Me, my mouth has to open. Then I get condemned. So we have, that's the first thing we must do. We have to let it go in ourselves. Okay? We have to let it go, that separation between us. Because it is not going to allow him to do the work he wants to do through us.
Mm.
It will stop him. It truly will stop him. If we think, oh, okay, the Africans can be over here and that's safe, and the Africans can go, oh, well, we don't really like the Muzungu because they're a bit weird, or they think funny things, or they're this or they're that. We're not going to do it. We're not going to do what he's calling us to do here.
Mm-hmm.
It can't happen. Now, I mean, the funny thing is, I'm more at home in, like, I close my eyes here. And when I close my eyes, especially when I hear the women sing, and I close my eyes and I'm like, this is little Africa for me. Okay, I come here so I can get infused with that again.
Yeah.
Because Africa is an amazing place. And it makes people alive. And my plan, even in the ministry, is to actually bring Wazungu from all over to Africa, Christians, believers, that are dead, to come to life in Africa. Yeah? Okay? So you have so much to offer. Just like Muzungu has so much to offer. But what we do is we go, oh, you've got this, you can have this, and I can have that. And then we do this, and we're allowed. But God didn't say that, did he? He brought the middle, there is a wall of separation, and he broke it through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we have to stop it. We have to stop seeing with the physical eyes. And we have to see with the eyes of our heart. That is first, most important. Okay, and I say that, and when I'm in Africa, I make sure that the Africans know they are worthy. And they don't have to feel ashamed of who they are. And they don't have to hide who they are. And they don't have to be different because there's a Muzungu up in the front. Okay, to be themselves. And it's the same here, and I know it's hard because it's a society that makes you feel like you better be good, you know, and you better be careful. But we've got, if you're a Christian, if you're a believer, you have the Spirit of God leading you. That's who leads you, not the government of Australia. Okay?
Mm.
Not the government of the place that you came from, Congo or Sudan. The government is whose? Jesus Christ.
Mm.
Right? That's the government we are under.
Amen.
And we need to be under.
Amen.
Okay. I'm going to look at my notes just because he wants me to now. He's telling me. But that was the introduction. Okay?
Yeah.
Like, get over your color. No more. Okay? We really need to do it.
Mm.
I don't think of any of you as different from me in the sense of value. Okay, different color skin, so what? Okay, maybe different names, different countries you came from, but not in value.
Mm.
In worth, you are exactly the same.
Yeah.
Okay? And when we know that, when we truly know that, you don't have to pretend you're not who you are.
Mm.
You can be who you are, who he called you to be. Because he called you to be something special, something different, something for him. But if you're hiding who you are, you can't ever blossom into that. It's the same with me as a woman. He called me into ministry. I argued with God. I did my Moses. I said, well, how can I? I'm a woman. I live way out in the outback, or not outback, in the country. I don't, you know, what are they going to say? Blah, blah, blah. I went on and on. And he didn't leave me alone. And I finally decided, okay, I guess you're right. You chose me. You knew I was a woman. And I'm supposed to step up and do this. It's the same. If you're an African, he still wants you to do what he called you to do. It's no less than what he would call a Muzungu to do. Okay? Okay, so that's the first thing. The other thing he really wants me to talk about is this question, and it's a hard question, but it's a question we all have to ask ourselves, and we can re-ask it at any time in our lives and our walk with God. And it's, have you left your first love? He actually says that in Revelation. And I've got all the, for Murray, I've got all the notes of all the scriptures I've used because I know Murray checks. And then, which is great, because you need to know that the word is true. People aren't just saying garbage. But in Revelation 2:4, he says to the Ephesians, and you don't have to go there, but you can, because I'm going to quote it. But he says, nevertheless, this is Jesus Christ talking to them, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. He also says in Hosea, now yes, he's talking to the Israelites in Hosea 2:13. Again, you don't need to go there because I'm going to quote it exactly. But me, meaning the Lord, me, she forgot, says the Lord. We can forget him. We can make everything more important than him. The second question he wants me to ask. The first one, have you left your first love? The second one is, what matters to us most? When you answer the question, what matters to you most, you'll know whether you left your first love or not. So ask those. We need to. Have I left my first love? And the second question, actually ask first. What matters to me most? In your own heart, you don't have to confess it to anyone else. It's between you and God. And if what matters to us most is success, having a position, making money, getting accepted by people, the approval of man, we have left our first love. Okay? And we have to really be willing to expose our hearts to the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, if I have left my first love, you, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, if I've left you, fix it, change me, transform me, do whatever is necessary because I want to be back with my first love. Because that is all that matters. He says without love, we are nothing. Doesn't matter your color, doesn't matter how much money you have in the bank, doesn't matter your degrees, you are nothing without love. Absolutely nothing. And we can't pretend. We can't live. And I'm telling you this. I know he's got all these notes in this other way, but I'm just going to do whatever he's telling me now. He's coming. For real. He came again, right? Jesus Christ came in the flesh. Mm. We all know that's true. Well, he's coming again. Mm. And he's coming for a bride that is beautiful, that is radiant, that is in love with him, that can't get enough of him. And that's what he means about being without spot or wrinkle. He wants all of our hearts. Every bit of it. Not holding anything back. You know, when we look at the first two commandments of love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, and all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself, we think those are equal. Now, God, Jesus told us to value both. But the first one, the first one, love the Lord your God. He doesn't say love your neighbor with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your mind, does he?
No.
He says love your neighbor as yourself. So that means treat them the way you treat yourself. Be kind when they need something. If they're starving, give them food. If they're thirsty, give them a drink. If they're hurting, comfort them. But God says, love me with everything that you have. Not a little part. Not a small part. Not certain parts. I'll love him when I come to, you know, a gathering or church, but the other part of the day, I'm all upset about everything, and I don't like my neighbor, and I want to gossip about this one, and I'm going to say that about... That's not loving God. That's not loving him. So he wants us to give him all of ourselves for him to do with what he wants. That means you're going to trust him enough that if he said to you, I want you to go back to Africa and I want you to live there and be a missionary, you'd go. You might be scared, you might be afraid, but he'd go, okay. You'd go, okay. That's the kind of love he wants. He wants no holds barred. He doesn't want any more conditions from us. He's coming so soon. So soon. He's coming to bring his bride. To seize her from the time to come. You know what one of the prayers that I believe we all should pray daily, Aiden and I do it, is this. In I never know references, but I've got them written down. In Luke, and let me just go to the last part. Where is he? Luke 21:36. And Murray, since you're so good with that, can you read that for us? Luke 21:36. You don't have to. I can have somebody else. But because you got your little nifty iPad.
Yeah.
But
Luke 21:36.
Yes, please.
Keep always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man.
Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you that scripture is vital for the bride of Christ. Vital. It is Jesus Christ saying to the bride that is coming to us that you can escape all these things that shall come to pass. He's talking about, we can feel it, birth pangs, can't we? There's more earthquakes now. There's more disasters now. There's crazy political things happening all over the world. Can you just stop him because I'm getting distracted, please? There are so many signs of his coming. If we really look at it, you just have to go on the news. Thank you. You just have to go on the news and look at what's happening all over the world. They've had that asteroid that hit Russia. Come on, when does that happen? Look at how close he is. He is coming soon. He is coming soon. And he's saying that we can pray to him. We can watch. Because he says, when all these horrible things start happening, look up. Don't freak out. Look up. Your redemption is nigh. He's coming soon. And he wants to prepare his bride. That he loves, that he died for. And the only way that we can be prepared for that is to actually give in to the Holy Spirit. It's okay. To actually yield to the Holy Spirit, because what does the Holy Spirit do? He transforms us from glory to glory into the image of Jesus Christ himself. I can't do it, come on! You can't do it. We've got flesh always going, oh, but I want this. Ooh, oh, I don't like that. Ooh, we're doing that all the time. We've got this constant little thing running commentary in our heads. But he transforms us. But if we don't commune, this is the other part of the teaching he wanted to give today. If we don't commune with the Holy Spirit, and I'm talking daily. I'm not talking, okay, we'll be here and we'll ask him to come and then we know he's going to do his thing. No, be with him. He's a person of God. Like you sit down here, you know, and you're having a cup of coffee, and you talk with him. He is in you.
Amen.
He's in you.
Amen.
He's not away from you, so if you don't commune with him, you know what'll happen? You start to go like this, and you start to go like this. And you're walking around blind and deaf, and you don't know what the heck's going on. And anyone can give you any kind of nonsense, and you go, oh, that kind of looks good. Because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And he's only going to lead you into truth. It says, Jesus Christ himself said, he will lead you into all truth. All truth. That includes knowing how to love God. Because we don't know how to love him. We love human. We love like people. That's how we love. We love in a people way, a flesh way. Oh, I love you now, or you've made me mad, I don't love you anymore. That's how we love. But he wants us to love with an everlasting love because that's how he loves us. He doesn't limit his love. He showed me the other day, I go up on the mountain, that's the way I go be with him. I mean, I could be with him doing the laundry too, but I love my time away. So I walk up this hill that's really hard, I'm sweating, and it's like I earned my little time with him. But I could, you know, I could go anywhere, I could sit somewhere. But this is what I love to do. And I went up on the mountain and I looked at the vastness of the bay, the ocean in front of me, and I went, loving you, Lord, is like loving the ocean. Like, how do you do it? It's so deep. It's so wide. It's so unlimited. And you know what he said to me? He said, you know how to love me because I gave you Jesus Christ. And you can love personally and be loved personally. That's what he's given us through his gift of his son. And on top of that, did he stop there and just go, okay, well, you got my son, now you're forgiven, now just sit there and be good for the next 20 years. No, he said, I'm going to fill you up with me. With me. God himself in us. If we commune with the God who made everything, because that's who lives in you, did you know that? Same one that rose Jesus Christ from the dead? Same one who created everything lives in you. He's not less. He lives in you. And if we commune with him, we will be directed. Because he says, for as many, this is in Romans 8:14, for as many as those who are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. So if we ain't being led by the Spirit, what does that say? There's a worry there. We've got to be led by the Spirit. And that's how we're going to know how to do anything worthwhile. Not be led by our flesh, not be led by our desire, not be led by wanting things, wanting possessions. He says, store up treasures in, where? Heaven. And you know what the best treasure is? You know what his greatest treasure is? His greatest treasure is a yielded child of God. That's his treasure. And if we share what he's done for us with others, so they can be yielded children of God, then that's the treasure we're storing up for him. That's what he's asking us to do. I know because you're in a foreign, well, you're not in a foreign country anymore. You're you know, you're Australian. I'm Australian. Ha ha. They'll never believe it, but I am. Okay? We have a responsibility to this country. I know a lot of you came here, or maybe all of you came, from horrible circumstances. Refugee circumstances. I came from horrible circumstances. They just were white. But I still had horrible, horrible things that happened in my life too, okay, until I finally met him. So we've all come from something that was hard, to whatever the degree is. But you know why he also brought you here? Not just for you. Do you know that? He didn't just bring you because, you know, he doesn't want Charles to be hurt or attacked or killed or anything. He brought you for them, for the people here, because they're dying. They're dying in their souls.
Yeah.
They're dying in their hearts, and some of them will be eternally separated from God. And he says, oh, bring my light. Do you know that Africans, I find this about Africans, okay, these are not to make differences, so, oh, whites are good, or, black, or Africans are bad, or Africans are good, and whites are bad, not like that. But I know he's planted something special in the African heart. He has. There is a warmth there that white people don't have. Whether they learn not to have it, I'm sorry, it's just the way it is. That's why I came here first, in this place, because somebody told me there was an African man. African meeting, I've got to go. And I told Charles on the first day, he said, oh, hello, and I said, I need some color, because it's so shut out. So you can actually help these people be open Okay, and don't worry about, oh, they might be prejudiced, or they might not like you, or they don't like me either. They don't. Okay? They think I'm bizarre, strange, whatever, I'm outspoken, I'll talk about Jesus, that puts you on the back foot already. So don't worry about it. You're going to get rejected. Expect to get rejected. Expect to be persecuted. And you know what? Once we expect it, it won't hurt anymore. It just won't hurt. It's just like, so what? First it stings. It does. And you get to the point where you can actually ask the Holy Spirit to give you joy when you get persecuted. So don't hold back because of your color, and don't hold back because of your fear of them. Don't. Because he's asking you, as part of his body, to share what he gave you, the greatest treasure, Jesus Christ. Okay? So it's time to, like, the troops have to stand up. Get your boots on, get your rucksack on, and let's go. We've got to go because he's coming soon, and we want to bring as many people as we can into his kingdom so they're not lost. That is vital. And once you know your value just as much as any Australian, well, who cares then when you go up to anybody? It doesn't matter anymore because you're just as valued. You're not any less. Because we can segregate ourselves. I know when I was living in Alice Springs, there was a lot of Americans, and all the Americans hang out together. I couldn't handle them. They made me crazy. So I didn't handle, I stuck with the Australians, even though they were difficult to be with. It was like, I don't want to be in my little cave. I'm here in another country. It's important to be a part of it. In the way God tells you, not the way I say, the way God tells you. Whatever it is he's asking you to do, specifically, we all have different gifts. And he'll use them for his glory. Always use them for his glory. Now, well, this was the other thing that he wanted me. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 2, 11 to 14. And if Charles, if you don't mind reading that, that would be great. 1
Corinthians 2?
1 Corinthians 2, 11 to 14.
In 1 Corinthians 2, 11 to 14. So, for who among men knows the thoughts of a man, except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God, except the spirit of God. 12. They have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. 13. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. And 14. The man without the Spirit doesn't accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually discerned.
Hallelujah. Thank you. So what he's telling us is that without the Spirit, without having a relationship with the Spirit, you aren't going to understand anything of God. We need to stop pushing the Spirit here, whether he can come and be in our meetings, but we don't commune with him as the person. He's the third person of the Trinity.
Yeah.
He belongs in our lives daily. Jesus Christ said he would send him because it was better that he went away. So if we're not communing with the Holy Spirit, we're kind of shutting out Jesus and we're shutting out the Father. That's how we have to look at it. We have to not see him as separate or as junior God, as less than Jesus Christ our Savior, or as the Father. He is God and he lives in us. And it's so important for us to know that, because it's the only through him are we going to understand what God is giving us. The other one I wanted to go to was John 17:23. So whoever wants to read that one. You're all tired. I feel like you're all jet-lagged. Now, only one person's gone to Africa today. It's contagious.
Seventeen twenty-three.
Yeah, Nelson, that would be great.
I in them and you in me, may they be brought to complete unity. Let the world know that you sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me.
You know, when I was a Christian for, I don't know, several years, I'd read that, you know, as we read the book of John. Do you know, I never got it. He loves me, he loves you, the same as he loves Jesus Christ. Let that pour into your heart. The same, not less, the same as he loves Jesus. And if he loves you the same as he loves Jesus, guess what? That means that he's given you the same kind of love that he's given his son, and he can pour out of your heart to other people, back to him. That's what he's asking. Don't leave me. Don't leave your first love. He doesn't want us to do that. We get so caught up in, oh, I have to go to a doctor today. Oh, my kids are sick. Oh, how am I going to get a passport? Oh, you know, all of us get caught up in these things. And we forget our first love. We forget what matters most, which is his heart for us and what he did for us. And once we walk in that, and we can only walk in it through the Spirit. This one I'm going to read, what he had me write. He says, there's no difference between the Father's love of Jesus and his love for us. How can this be? He has even chosen to indwell us, seal us, with his very Spirit, God himself, for our redemption. When you realize the depth of the Father's love, how can we not respond in kind in the same way? How can we not respond? You know, when I first got saved, and I was, anyway, it doesn't matter. When I first got saved, a revelation came to me. And the revelation was this. I had confessed Christ, but I didn't really know what it meant. I just know I was willing, and I'd done everything else, so, well, okay, I'm coming this way. And I've been seeking God, but I didn't know he was from Christianity. I didn't know about Jesus Christ. And I opened the Bible, and I was reading, no, it wasn't even the Bible, it was some excerpts of the Gospels, and I just, was going, la, 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 la. And I went, oh, he's the Son of God! Now, I had read that many times, but the Holy Spirit had lifted the veil.
Amen.
And I could see. Glory. But even better than that, you know what he showed me next? I kept reading, and I went, he did what? He separated himself, God, from God. Jesus Christ, God, the Word made flesh, separated from God, the Father, never separated before on that cross, for me, for you. That's when I fell in love. I immediately fell in love with him because I knew there was no other God. There was no one else that would do that for me. And when you have that kind of love and you have that knowledge of that love, with all the craziness that happens in this world, because he said we'll have trouble. He promised it, so we should stop bellyaching when we get it. We should just ask for his help. Daddy, I'm in trouble again. You said I'd have trouble, I need help. That's all we have to do. So we can expect to have trouble. But when we know that love that caused him, can you imagine you cutting yourself in two for your children? Because that's what he did. He cut himself off, completely off. That's why Jesus, people think Jesus didn't want to go and be crucified. Well, I mean, no, not horrific way to die. That's not why he cried. That's not why he was sweating blood. He was sweating blood because he knew he was going to separate from his Father, whom he never had been separated from. And when you get that's what love really is, that's the depth of love of God, that's how valued you were, that he would be willing. So why do we try to have things and nice clothes and nice cars and lots of money in the bank? Go, see, I'm valued now. No, you're valued before you were ever born. He finished it before you were born, before I was born. To let you know that that's how valued you were, that you are loved the same as Jesus Christ. Is that not the greatest news? And that's the news we get to share with other people. We don't should keep it for ourselves. That's the good news. He loves us with an everlasting love, a love that made him die for us, a love that covers everything. every one of our sins that sets us free to be His forever. There's nothing else to say. I have nothing else, and I miss heaps, but there's nothing else to say. There really isn't. I feel like, I mean, even for myself, and I've got a wonky leg today, but even for myself, I feel like, you know, just getting on my knees and saying, thank you, Lord, how could you do this? But I'm so grateful. I can't even, I don't even know what I could do for you in return. All I can do is pour my life out for you as a drink offering. There is nothing else to do. And we'll be with Him for eternity. We've got to have our eyes not on it, can I pay my rent? I'm going home one day for eternity.
Glory.
That's what we have to do. We have to have eternal eyes. And if we have eternal eyes, we'll care about that person that doesn't know Him. And we'll know that they're going to be separated forever from Him. And they don't have to be, because He separated His Son from Him, so we wouldn't have to be. That's the glory that lives inside us. And that's what we have to share. We actually have to. Because Paul said that he was duty-bound to share. I mean, if he didn't want to, well, he still had to share. But if isn't it glorious when he wanted to share, when he gave himself to share, when he said, yes, I want to tell the world, we can rejoice. We don't want to share this with resentment. Oh, I'm going to tell that person that. You know? That's it. Do you know what? He shows all kinds of ways that you can share. It doesn't matter. For me, he now writes letters and candies. However, as long as we get the message out, it doesn't matter. If you're a scared kind of person, you can write something to somebody. You don't even have to say who it is. Just write the truth of the Word of God. You know? They'll find out. And pray for them. Always water it with prayer. That's the way you water your seed.
Yeah.
Pray, 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 and you will see His fruit. Because He says in Zechariah 8:12, He says, because I had done all those, you know, those little packages and everything during Christmas, and I was like really worried about it. I'm like, oh Lord, I didn't get to explain it. Oh, I didn't get to go into the details. Blah, blah, blah. And He gave me this amazing scripture, Zechariah 8:12, and it said, the seed will be prosperous. The vine will produce its fruit. The ground her increase, and the heaven its due. And I knew that He was telling me, you didn't plant so I wouldn't grow, you planted so I will grow. So don't worry about whether you see it right away or not. You won't always see it. And some people are resistant. You know, they're just like, it doesn't matter. He can break that. We can't, but He can. He can break it for us. Okay? So let's make our lives not about us anymore. That's really what he's talking about. The bottom line of this whole teaching is, if you've left your first love, your life's about you. That's what happens. When you've left your first love, life's all about you. Your problems, your desires, your things, your plans. And we've got to stop that. He says, stop worrying about you. You're my business. Go be about the Father's business. That's what we're meant to do. And when we really do it, you know what? It's amazing what He'll do for us.
Yeah.
It is amazing. You know what? What did He say? Jesus just said this to the disciples. To not worry about anything, right? To seek first what? All the things you want. And then you'll be happy? No, He didn't say that.
No.
He said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. But you know what we do? We seek the adding of the things. And what happened to the kingdom? Kingdom's going down the toilet. I'm serious. Now, I don't mean to say that in a rude way. But it's just, these people are dying. Because we're running around worrying about, oh, what am I going to do about this? What am I going to do about that? He said, seek the kingdom. The kingdom. God's will, God's desire, God's heart. The kingdom. And then all the things we need. And you all know it, and I know it too. When I work that way, when I walk that way, He does take care of all my garbage that I need dealt with. But when I'm running around doing it, I make a mess of it anyway. And all these people and all the things He wants are being neglected. We've got to decide, do we trust God or not? That's what we've got to decide. Do we trust Him? If He gave us Jesus Christ, and if he loves us the same as Jesus Christ, I don't think being untrustworthy is a good idea. He can be trusted. He can be trusted for everything. Whether it happens in the way we think, or what happens in our kind of plan, or not, we can trust him. He might change everything that you thought you had planned. He does that. But if we trust him, it doesn't matter. Because remember, eternity is where we're looking. We're not looking here and now. We're looking at eternity. Okay? He's coming back for us. He's prepared mansions. Mansions! Don't worry about a stupid house now. You got a mansion waiting for you. And so do I. Mansions. He's prepared in the Father's house for us. And he's coming up. He's coming in the clouds. And he's going to bring us up. He's going to scoop us up, his beautiful bride, and take us home. So let's think about, we already know our stuff is dealt with. We're okay. Let's go deal with the ones that aren't okay. That's, I believe, that's the end of what he wants to say. Okay? Amen.